Rejoice, dear listener, for your endless march through the internet has finally produced something to add meaning to your empty, meandering existence. Your friends at Idiots Discuss the Universe are digging up musical gems of the past and deciding if they have any shine left or not. Welcome to Old Gold.
Mid-tempo songs.
Yeah. Not too fast, not too slow, just right, said Mary Jo. I've been making up a lot of songs lately. Good. On the spot. I've been annoying Summer with them.
Oh, no. I can't imagine that this quarantine is getting to her at all.
She is a saint. She really is.
But she didn't give you drop-off today. She made you ride the max.
No, she made me, made me take my ass to where I needed to go.
Good. Good for her.
Good for her.
So where'd you pick up the max? At Lloyd Center or up by 42nd?
Hollywood, yeah.
Okay,
Transit.
Cool. That's not a bad little walk up from
house. And today it was,
hotter than fuck coming up
Broadway.
Hotter
than fuck.
Yeah, there's no trees on that street.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's an age thing, but you know how pale I am.
Oh, sure I do.
And by all accounts, I have no business being in the sun. But as I grow older, I like it. I mean, to an extent, I like sitting out and just like sweating it out, you know, just it feels like I'm getting squeezed and like the bad water's coming out.
I think to some degree, like sweating is a healthy thing for sure. It does expel toxins for sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. And you've just so many toxins.
I'm pretty toxic.
So many
toxins. I'm pretty toxic.
But you know what I like to do when the weather gets nice?
What's that?
Spency?
What's that, man?
I like to listen to a little bit of reggae music, dude.
Reggae music.
I had a hell of a reggae fondness. I still do, for a long time. But I mean, I really like spent a couple summers going to a lot of reggae shows and seeing a lot of the greats before they stopped kind of percolating through everything.
Damn.
So that was cool. I never saw Peter Tosh or Bob Marley, but a lot of the other big ones I've seen, for sure.
Like who? Like Bunny and the Wailer?
Desmond Dekker, Bunny Wailer, Ziggy Marley, Jimmy Cliff. Who we're going to be talking about today.
Jimmy Cliff.
Because I think we're going to talk about, maybe my favorite reggae album of all time.
Wow.
It is. Without a doubt. I can't think of one that comes even fucking close to this one, really. Even the Bob Marley, legend. I mean, talking about greatest hits, maybe that would change some things. But as far as, a soundtrack or just album, it's never really been topped. I just don't think it's ever been.
Wait, so are there multiple artists on this thing?
Oh, sure. This is a soundtrack to a movie. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Idiots Discuss the Universe.
Hello.
That's Benny.
Hello.
I'm Craig.
That's Craig.
We're doing an episode today that we call Old Gold.
Old Gold.
And in Old Gold, we reach back past the year 2000, just somewhere into the musical chambers of memory and pull some stuff out, and then we dust it off and we turn it on, put it on the virtual turntable. And sometimes Spenny's familiar with it, sometimes he's not, sometimes I'm familiar with it, sometimes I'm not.
Right.
Sometimes we're both familiar with it. We just are having fun time listening to music and we're making some content while we're doing the thing that we normally do anyway.
Right. Yes.
And then passing that savings on to you because we are very economically inclined that
Absolutely.
Way here at the Idiots. But today I think we would probably be hanging out and listening to a little reggae music if we were recording or not. At least we'd listen to it until Spenny started to complain, which would probably be 5 to 7 songs.
I don't like this. Craig,
he wouldn't do that.
Scott.
He would just be, "Hey, have you heard this yet?"
Yes, always
because
positive.
That
always
would
positive.
Be something that we could listen to. That would be cool, maybe.
Yeah, that would be cool.
And you can just read that.
Come on, Craig.
What he's really saying is this sucks, and I really can't take it. But it's cool in your basement, so I don't want to leave. So we're gonna have to figure.
we're gonna have to sort out the situation. No, man, it's fucking hot. It's muggy. It feels like Washington, D.C. outside. It's overcast, and you sweat after being out there for 5 minutes, and so it feels like a good a time as any to listen to some reggae.
Yeah,
so
no,
I'm
it's
down.
It's just hot, miserable out there. So, what we're going to do today is we're going to do the Harder They Come soundtrack. Now, you've heard the Harder They Come soundtrack, probably, right? I've probably played it.
You might have played it.
Because then I get the complaining. No. So I probably haven't played it when we
You know what
together.
I do complain about?
What?
It's not the old school reggae. It's the fucking ska.
Yeah, well,
I've never
that's
been.
Probably
you
why,
can go dig.
That's probably why I haven't played this album because it does kind of have a bunch. It's a. No.
That shit. I fucking hate that shit.
Okay, so you don't like the British ska thing. Okay,
leave it alone. Okay, but all of the
this is all rock. This is all rock steady early reggae period.
I'm down with it.
Yeah,
I'm down.
Well, we'll see. You know, it's going to be some hot, happy stuff. But
I'm gonna test.
Obviously, you probably have not seen the movie,
no.
The Harder They Come, which it's a great movie. And the reason why they call it Jimmy Cliff, Harder They Come, is Jimmy Cliff starred in the movie.
Oh, cool.
And it is the story of probably loosely autobiographical of how Jimmy Cliff became like... a great big a reggae star, essentially, you know, and like what it was like living in like the shanty town Jamaica at that period of time, late 60s, early 70s, when Bob Marley and the Wailers are just kind of like getting that international recognition in a very minimal way, at least through the Caribbean and maybe a little bit in the southern United States, South America, a little bit, you know, but they're still very, very local, like phenomenon sort of thing. But there is like this in England and stuff, there is like this diaspora of Jamaican folks that are moving to Europe and to New York City and different things. And so there's a market for like reggae music for the first time in a really, really long time. So like Kingston, Jamaica is like the new heart of that area. And now normally I don't read liner notes on an album, but I think that they're kind of interesting this time.
All right,
you know,
cool.
And it kind of puts this whole thing into perspective. And it's kind of fun. I don't know who wrote these, but yeah. So I'm just going to read through this. It's only a couple paragraphs here. So, Jimmy Cliff and the Harder They Come, the motion picture, Shantytown, Jamaica, where the best grass in the world sells for $2 an ounce in the street, where shooting a film can be held up when an actor is shot. Two have died since it was completed, where people sing in church until they have an orgasm. Reggae was born and grew in these slums, and so was the film that brings the raw world of reggae and Jamaican grass to the screen for the first time. The slums of West Kingston aren't just a location for The Harder They Come. They give it birth, and they gave it life. Nothing expresses that life better than the music in this album, for here is hope and deep depression, anger, and love. Every day, hundreds of kids flock into the slums of Kingston from the hillsides of Jamaica, drawn by the promise of the transistor, sure that they can get it if they really want. Jimmy Cliff was one of those kids, and that dream is still at the root of his music. For him, the dream came true, but for most, Many Rivers to Cross is a prelude to drowning in the ocean of dust and zinc and joblessness of a place and time that increasingly needs people who can at least read and write. Sitting in limbo for a lifetime is something that most can only avoid by going back to their barefoot homes or turning to petty crime, going the Rudy route that so many reggae songs have told about. Talking
damn
pigeon,
I mean they
yeah.
really had me at singing until the orgasm.
Yeah,
that once you said that I was. It's hard to think of anything else.
Crime runs through the life of Shantytown like the incessant rhythms of the sound systems, feeding on the ganja herbs that flourish on the banks of the Rivera.
Wait, so is that
the rivers of Babylon?
That's a thing, singing to orgasm? That's a thing.
In church? Oh yeah, people orgasm in church all the time, dude. The ecstatic.
Oh yeah,
and
the
that
talking
sort of
in
stuff.
Tongues and
all of that. Yeah, that's a huge thing in the dancing. I mean, There's a very close link with like some of the Caribbean church traditions and the hoodoo religions, and that also is a religion where people dance until they have ecstatic orgasmic
vision
pinnacles. Yeah,
yeah,
for sure. But Let's break this off and let's break this off with just a little get in the mood a little bit. We're just gonna play like the beginning of the album. There's like about half Jimmy Cliff songs and half songs by other people, and I'm not gonna spend too much time on Jimmy Cliff. I mean, he's just like an amazing thing, but I'm not gonna torture you too much with him because he's very upbeat, very happy, very positive sort of thing.
Oh God,
a lot of horns and that sort of stuff. But we're gonna start it off. We're gonna start it off with the title track of the album, which I think is the last song on the album. There's so many different versions. They've released this with more and more tracks included all the time. But we want The Harder They Come by Jimmy Cliff. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Yeah, so we want...
looks like they got it all, though, right?
Yeah, they got the original. This is the original thing. It looks like they got all of it. Yeah, cool. I don't know if these will be the right versions or not, but we'll make do. So play the last song on that list. That's The Harder They Come. That's the finish it off song. But
all right.
Yeah, this is the theme of the music, and it's just kind of a fun little welcome to Jamaica, you know. Song.
Let's do it.
And Jimmy Cliff would have been Bob Marley if Bob Marley hadn't hit first. You know what I mean? He really was like that strong of a songwriter, and he still, like, I saw him when he was like almost 80 years old, and he was fucking killed it, dude.
Damn.
Killed it.
Damn. Yeah. Fuck.
Will they tell me off a pie up in the sky?
Just uplifting as hell, don't you think, Spenny?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The harder they come.
Yeah. No, I liked it.
Yeah. No, it's a great song. Yeah. You've heard it before, I'm sure.
It sounded very familiar. Yeah. But not, I mean, maybe once or twice. I don't know.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a thing that I knew. But, you know, with reggae, it's like, it's a jam, and they got their thing, basically. They got their changes, and they're going to go through it, and then they're just going to jam on it. You know, and maybe throw in a solo, but it's all just about that, you know, like we were talking about that, like trance inducing, you know, like African drum influence. It really sticks in there where you let all of like the different elements just like percolate until they like all of a sudden start to sound different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you start to just, now I just hear the guitar poking out. Uh-huh. And I wasn't paying attention to that before. And now I just hear like that one little bell. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And
that
is cool, and it it's fucking sweet.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Now here's the songs that I truly find interesting off of this album are the ones that are the little bands that didn't have, they may have had one single in like late 60s of Jamaica. You know, they never had an album. You know, they weren't together for more than just a short while, you know, to do the thing that they did, and they went back into doing whatever they were doing before. Because these are truly like, I don't know, it was an interesting scene in that sense that like it was very violent and a lot and just constantly in flux and all sorts of things. So a lot of these bands were like these fly-by-night one-hit wonders out of Jamaica, and that's where they picked a lot of the songs for this, is they just picked songs that were hits off the radio in Jamaica from 1967 to like about 1971, and this movie came out in 1972, like I said, I think. And one of the best ones is like this this album contains a lot of like reggae standards, and you have to understand this album introduced like these reggae standards that have gone through like the genre since, you know. And but this was the first time that like some of these songs had been heard by a wider audience. I mean, a lot of people had maybe picked up like Catch a Fire by Bob Marley, and that was like the reggae thing. And then this was that second album that showed them that like, oh, it's not just Bob Marley, it's all this other stuff. It's a fully developed sort of scene down there. And then people started to get a little bit more interested in bands like Toots and the Mayhalls and Maytals and the things that the bands that had existed, that continued to exist, Jimmy Cliff and some people that were like established, and Isaac, Gregory Isaacs, and some of those folks,
yeah,
you know, that came out of that scene and were the consistent ones. But a lot of these bands, the greatest bands, were ones that had like one song, maybe two songs, you know, and then they were gone, you know. Mm. And there are whole compilations of early reggae of that period where it's just like one hit wonders after again, and they are amazing. It's amazing music.
Damn.
And we're going to play one of those. This is like one of the classics of reggae, just period. I mean, it's right up there with anything that Bob Marley ever wrote, and it is something that has been, well, you'll see. You've heard it in other things that you've done, but this is where it comes from. So we're going to play The Rivers of Babylon, which is the third song off of this song by the Melodians.
Okay. Yeah, I know this song.
Yeah.
I love this song.
I don't know if you've ever heard this version. The original, I mean, it's from the Bible, you know, but that's the first one. That's the one that like
they wrote it.
Well, I mean, they put it to music and they put it to reggae music, and it was the first like hit. Like that was like on the radio in Jamaica in like the late 60s, and they took the part of the Bible. That's an old song that's like been sang as spiritual for a long time, The Rivers of Babylon.
Right.
But these guys took it and put it into reggae and made it like a reggae standard.
Gotcha.
And that's why Sublime puts it on their fucking album.
Right.
Is because of these guys being covered by, like, Toots and the... I mean, everybody's covered this song because these guys did it, and then they went into the breeze.
Wow.
And then, so, like, you know, people have just... It's like one of those things. You know, it's like a...
Cool.
It's Kumbaya of Kingston, Jamaica, or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's better.
But this is what put it on the map and made it that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I knew that it was a cover. The Sublime version was a cover, but I didn't know that it went that far back.
Yeah.
That deep.
Yeah.
I knew it was about like, you know, Rastafarian, you know.
Oh, it's from Psalm. It's Psalm it's one of the Psalms.
The whole thing? Word for word?
Not word for word, but I mean it's kind of like if you took the Psalm and you changed it a little bit to make it into a thing, but I mean
over the wicked carry us away captivity.
Yeah.
That's a song.
By the waters of Babylon, we kneel down and pray. Yeah.
By the rivers of Babylon. Yeah, it's a great song.
Yeah. Carried us away. Yeah. It's just Old Testament stuff for sure. But, yeah, that's just a classic. But There were a couple other ones on here that are just fantastic that I want to kind of check out and hear, like the Maytals. You've heard of Toots and the Maytals.
Sure.
Well, before they were Toots and the Maytals, they were just the Maytals.
Okay.
And this is also just a reggae standard that became a punk music standard that I think is kind of just like a classic of like rock music now, but this is like the first version of this too, and that's Pressure Drop by the Maytals.
Oh, it's on here.
Yeah, it's on here.
I forgot I had things to do. I was just kind of like listening to the podcast. That happens sometimes.
That's all right.
You'd be like, whoa, cool. I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, no,
oh, it's me. All right, I'm the one.
That's okay. That gives it dramatic pause.
Right, with some tension there.
But this is Pressure Drop, covered by The Clash, covered by just a bunch of people. You know, the Clash version is kind of what put it on my radar the first time, and this is just way better. You know, it's just a really great reggae version of it, and the Toots and the Maytals are just always like super duper fun to listen to, and they're great to see live. I don't think they're around anymore. I don't think Toots is around anymore, but like just fucking top shelf reggae right here for sure. So this is right at the very beginning of the percolating of like a 35-40 year career that these guys have. So let's check it out. Pressure Drop.
All right, let's do it.
That's the original one, but it's fucking the production of all these songs. What do you think of this? You know,
I mean, I love it. I think that's part of the whole vibe.
The charm. Yeah. It's so punk rock without being punk rock.
Yeah.
It's just recorded in like, you know, and there are little recording studios all through the shanty towns.
Right.
You know, like that was the thing.
Right.
Save up money, show up on, like, Leslie Kong was, like, one of the guys, this Asian guy that showed up in Jamaica and just started, like, recording. And, like, the Leslie Kong stuff, and he recorded a lot of these songs, too. He's, like, a producer guy that would just do these things. And it's, he has, like, this really, like, fast and furious mixing style, you know.
Right.
You could tell these are all, like, three takes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like,
flip it over.
Do it over.
Yeah.
Playing it live. Here we go.
Yeah. But that's the awesome thing about it. It sounds so authentic. I felt like I could see Toots fucking belting it and, like, you know, dripping sweat and just be like, ah!
Well, you can feel the energy between the people playing it, you know, in the sense that because they're all playing at the same time and they're all probably sharing microphones to do it, you know. And if you watch these old things, they are like they lean in forward to get like their instrument better, and then they'll come back out and, you know, like, because it's really shoestring third world shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, wow, it makes Sun Studios in the 50s look like NASA, you know, that sort of deal.
Totally.
Thank you for indulging me too, Spenny. I know this isn't like your comfort zone.
It's a little outside the comfort zone.
But I'm going to push it, and we're going to play two more songs.
All right.
One that we're
all pretty short too. So
they're all pretty short, you know. But like, you know, we're gonna leave some for the viewers to discover on their own.
Right.
Well, that's the key. But I'm gonna play like one of my favorite song, probably my favorite song off of this. I don't know if it is or not. It's right up there, but it's great. And this is by one of those one hit wonders that I've never heard anything else by them. but it's the song Johnny Too Bad by the Slickers. And this might push some limits, I think, because the vocal style is a little bit more towards the Money Wailer styling sort of things.
Okay.
But it really, like, just for me, like, just conjures up all of, like, the images of the movie, of, like, the violence and the gangs and, like, the sadness and, like, the homesickness of, like, everybody living in the ghetto that want to go back to where they don't want to go back, but they want to, you know, they want their dreams to come true, or they want to go back, but they don't really want to, you know what I'm saying? It's this weird trap that they're all in that this movie really captures, you know, and, I really would suggest if you can get to, like, Movie Madness or someplace or something. Ever see it on any of the streaming services, but I'm sure it's on the internet probably somewhere,
gotta be
too.
Around somewhere.
I mean, it can't be that well guarded of a secret. It's a movie from 1972 made in Jamaica. So somebody's got it available, but you can definitely get it from Movie Madness here in town. But I strongly suggest it just as a piece of, like, cultural history and just to understand that whole, like, Jamaican experience. Like, man, it's entertaining, funny. The music's fantastic. Like, Jimmy Cliff's a pretty good actor because he's playing himself, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, he does a pretty good job of that.
Sure.
The fashion's it's just a fascinating, you know, the Kingston, Jamaica, West Kingston, Jamaica, the late 60s to, like, 1972 or 3 was just a magical place, like, on the level of, like, a Haight-Ashbury in, like, the late 60s or, like, New York in the 50s or whatever, you know, whatever you're thinking of, you know, the Left Bank in the 40s, all that sort of, it's a magical just conglomeration of talent and things coming together, you know.
Fuck yeah.
So cool, let's just check it out. You know, this is just Johnny Too Bad, you know, it's just a really good
Johnny
one.
Too Bad,
yeah,
man, these are all just hits.
They are, yeah, it's all hits.
All right, here we go.
Walking down the road with the pistol in the waist, Johnny, you're too bad. Oh, oh. Walking down the road with the ratchet in your waist, Johnny, you're too bad. Oh, oh. You're just robbing and you're stabbing and you're looting and you're shooting, boy, you're too bad. You're just robbing and you're stabbing and you're looting and you're shooting, boy, you're too bad.
Too bad.
One of these days, when you hear a voice say come, we're gonna run.
Oh,
one of these days, when you hear a voice say come, we're gonna run.
This one's bringing in, like, a lot of the doo-wop. Well, I mean, Bob Marley and the Wailers, like, surely started as, like, they were very influenced by doo-wop as much as they were by island beats and all that stuff, and their early harmonies and stuff. You can really hear, like, the ink spots and, like, all that sort of thing that was coming from that late 50s stuff in America, you know.
Totally.
What'd you think of this one?
Man, this music is just very relaxing.
Yeah.
Overall. Once you just kind of, you're like, you're just kind of bobbing your head to it, and it just kind of keeps chugging along. You, like, check in, you know, like, see what they're talking about. And on this one, and it's always funny, because when you do check in, or when I do, it's always way darker than you think.
Oh,
because
sure.
You're, you know, you feel like, oh, I'm, like, on the beach, and, you know, it's peaceful, and, and, you know, not really too many cares, and then you listen to the lyrics and it's like, well, you're looting and you're shooting and you're robbing and you're, you know, you're like, oh, shit.
It's definitely dark. I mean, and seriously, Bob Marley mostly is, like, other than when he's trying to be, like, uplifting or whatever, like, he's talking about some real shit for sure, you know, and this is no exception. I mean, it was exceptionally hard fucking life.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just going to come through. And this music was, like, the release.
Yeah,
for sure. And you can definitely feel it. I mean, in the same way, like, blues, gets that, has that feeling. Country Western music has like really like authentic like music that's coming like directly out of a community that's serving like some purpose other than entertainment.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like this music is like a music that is like an exorcism of like the hardship that's going on, the same way that like gospel music and blues music and early rock and roll and rap, early hip hop and stuff, like that's what gives it punk.
Yeah.
All that shit, you know, the hardship or whatever, like informs the energy of the music, and then the rest is negotiable because that's going to be there and that gives it that, that real thing, you know, and that's definitely like this whole album, you know, that whole period too. Yeah. And that early Bob Marley is just thick with it as well. All of that, and a bunch of other bands too. One of them of which I think is the song that we're gonna end it with, which is another guy that I saw when he was just 1,000 years old, but he fucking killed it, was Desmond Dekker. And he sings one of my all-time favorite reggae songs, which is unfortunately not included on this album, even though it appears in the movie, which is Israelites. I just totally love that song. But we're going to play Shantytown by Desmond Dekker to say goodbye to everybody.
All right.
But I want to encourage everybody to find us on Patreon and give us a bunch of money.
Give us all your money.
And if you can't do that, just tell your friends to listen to us too, because they could be enjoying reggae music on a hot day like we are.
That's right.
Yeah.
Smoking weed, keeping it real.
That's it. Well, thanks, everybody. Thank you, Fenny, for tolerating it.
No, thank you. This is good. Stop saying tolerating. It's just on these ones, like, I hand the stage or whatever you want to call it. What the spotlight? I don't know. That's terrible. But, you know, Craig takes charge. And I think it works out. Because if I were to talk about the Harder They Come soundtrack, you know, there would just be a lot of jokes about, you know, people coming really hard. And, yeah, you can tell Craig is left. Craig went to, I think he had to pee really bad. And so now, this is what you get when Spenny takes over. Okay, the whole time, didn't you guys want to make some jokes about someone, you know, coming really hard? You know, I think it's pretty. It took I knew Craig would be mad if I did, you know, because he was so excited, you know? He was so excited for his little album. Okay, I'm just not. Okay. Love you guys. Thanks for listening. Good boys,